Freedom Law School's conference call on this Thursday, January 14th, 2016. This is Peyman Mutahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this program. Freedom Law School is now having these conference calls 3 times a week, 10 a.m. on Tuesdays, 3 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 8 p.m. Thursday evenings, all Eastern time zone, to help you understand the U.S. Constitution, the law, your rights, and how you can live free of oppressive taxation and control. Freedom Law School does this by educating you and providing you workable, winning solutions on how to live free. If you go to our website at livefreenow.org, you will find a lot of great information there available for free. And if you sign up for our email group, be on our email group, you're going to get once a month a free education about law, your rights, IRS, chapter tickets, and more sent to you at no charge. Education you will not find any place else on the internet. Education otherwise is available for sale, but you get much of that there for free. Just get on our email list, and once a month, you're going to get that. Become a fan of Freedom Law School on Facebook, and we'll be in touch with you that way as well. At Freedom Law School, folks, I've put together courses to help you understand law and your rights since 1996. And since 2001, I've been assisting individuals on how to live free. I discovered back in 1992 that there is no law that requires the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. See, having come in from Iran, land to the land of the free, home of the brave, the America I was told, this was a free country. You have free speech. You can expose and talk about government corruption. But you know what? I found that many Americans are not interested. They cannot think. They cannot read. They're too busy, you know, watching sports and soap operas and barbecuing, you know, all kind of and beer on the weekend. Well, Freedom Law School is for those Americans who want to live free, who are committed to living free, and they don't want to be a sheep. They don't want to be a sheeple. They want to take charge of their life and live free and breathe free. So the tools are there for you at Freedom Law School to help you succeed and win. And when I found out there's no law requiring Americans to file income tax, I started exposing it to as many people as I could, folks. And I've had a $100,000 income tax reward since 1999. For over 16 years, this income tax reward is anybody that can show me the law that requires the average American, like you and me, to file and pay the federal income tax, I'm offering that person $100,000. Very simple. There's laws against murder, laws against stealing. You know, lots of laws that says clearly, specifically what you're supposed to do. Right? But where's the law for the average American like you and me filing, having to file and pay income tax? I haven't found it. And I tell you what, the IRS can't find it. They know about my reward. IRS has had their agents and managers and lawyers and managing lawyers in California. Mr. Kevin Coy and Sherry Wilder, the lawyers, get together and conspire against me. They have over 8,000 pages of documents on me, and yet they cannot show the statute written by Congress that requires the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. So, folks, I suggest you write to your congressmen, senators, and ask them, what law did they write? Ask them to show you. Can I help you in that process, folks? How to do it right and how to win and live free. So, folks, if you're not free, it's a choice that you've made. And if you want to be free, it's a choice that you can make also. And I will show you how to use a law library, how to look up these simple legal citations that may seem complex to you, they did to me back in 1992, I'll make law easy to understand for you so you can live free. And I always tell everybody, don't believe me, the government, or anybody else on the internet. Verify anyone's legal claims for yourself. Read the law. And Freedom Law will help you read and understand the law so you can make an intelligent decision for yourself on how you want to be living free. So since I expanded these conference calls, folks, the good thing about it is you have more times to call the conference call, and the conference calls will be shorter because, you know, the calls are spread over three different time zones. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open up the call to those of you who may have a question and answer questions, any freedom question you have, whether it's the IRS, state income tax agency, or more, no problem. But let me suggest that you, when you call Freedom Law School at 813-444-4800, or get on our email list online at our website at livefreenow.org, you will be mailed the speech of one of my students, Joe Bannister, former gun-carrying IRS special agent who defected from the dark side of corrupt politicians and corrupt banks and corporations that buy and own the politicians to the side of we the people and the U.S. Constitution, and expose the fact that the entire income tax system is a lie. It's a big fraud. You can watch his speech on YouTube, you know, for free. Just type in Joe Bannister. The first one you'll see is his speech at Freedom Law School's 2000 Freedom Rally. However, I will send the audio speech of his CD to you for free in the mail, or we'll send them to you online so you can listen to it in the convenience of your car. While you're traveling in your car, you're stuck, it's the best time to learn, folks. You don't have time to sit down and just watch a speech for an hour and a half at your home on a video. A lot of people don't have time to read much either, but you can listen to it in your car as you go to work, shopping, or other daily activities. So take advantage of that. Contact Freedom Law School. We will send you as many of these CDs or speeches of Joe Bannister and our Freedom Catalog and more to you to educate you and others about freedom, the income tax, and your rights and how to live free. Because people are wondering right now, they're getting these W-2s in the mail, or these 1099 forms in the mail. They're wondering, should I file a 1040 form or not? So, folks, I'm available to answer your questions. So let's now go to the caller from area code 646 to see if you have a question. Caller from area code 646, do you have a question you want to ask me at this time? Okay, let's try one more time. The caller from area code 646, do you have a question? Okay, the call from area code 646 does not have a question, it seems. Let's go with the caller now from area code 313. If you have a question from area code 313, caller, please give us your first name. Okay, the call from area code 313 does not have a question. We're going to go with the caller from area code 203. Does the caller from area code 203 have a question? So please announce your question at this time. Okay, since there's nobody with a question at this time, I'm going to talk about the subject matter of this conference call. You see, what I do is I answer your questions, but I will also cover a freedom topic at each conference call for you so that you can learn about the law. It's kind of like a free class online, you could say. And that topic is the law that the government claims requires the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. Where is the law? I haven't found it. The government hasn't found it. There's so many ways you can prove this law is a fraud. Because remember, most people that file and pay income tax are what? They earn a wage or salary. It's a wage tax, it's a salary tax, right? If the average person doesn't have, if his money is not subject to withholding or income tax, the income tax means it doesn't exist. Number one. Number two, if someone lied to you about one thing, it's very likely that they also lied to you about other things. Because after all, now they have shown a record of being not trustworthy. Okay? So what you can do, folks, I tell everybody, is very simple. You know, you can do a small little research. Go on your computer and bring up your internet search browser, whether you use Bing or Google or whatever you use for your search browser or startpage.com, a private one, others. Just go type on there. I'm going to do one myself to help you follow along. I personally use Google. Okay, we're going to do it together if you want. Simply how to look up and do a little research on yourself. You go on there and type in there, number 2626, space, USC, and then type in 61. Okay, 26, space, USC, space, and then 61. Okay, so you're going to see the copy of the law will come up. The laws will come up. This is how you find laws. In federal laws are in 50 different categories. They're called United States Code. The United States Code is the codes of laws of the United States. Code basically means category, essentially. Okay, there are 50 categories. The category 26 is about taxes. Okay, so that's why the abbreviation of that of those laws is 26 United States Code, which they abbreviate to USC. U period, S period, C period. But you don't have to put the periods. If you do without it on your search engine of your computer, will come up. Usually the Cornell Law University website comes up first, law.cornell.edu, followed by usually the government printing office, the gpo.gov, and then Find Law and others will come up that have these things also, you know, Wikipedia and others. So you can go right. I like Cornell Law because their website is more readable. The font is more easy to read, but the language of it is the same as the one you would get from the government printing office, okay, gpo.gov. So click on law.cornell.edu, the site that comes up with 26 USC Code Section 61, and you see its heading is Gross Income Defined. Now, the heading of the laws don't really matter, legally speaking. They're supposed to guide you, but they're not accurate. So do not rely on the headings by itself. Technically speaking, the language of the law below it is what really matters. So if you go, language of Section 61, gross income, it says, general definition, except as otherwise provided in this subtitle, gross income means all income from whatever source derived, including but not limited to the following. Now, the word in the parentheses, but not limited to, is not part of the law. Okay, anything in parentheses, guess what? Was not in the law in the first place. Okay, if it was, it would not be inside the parentheses. Okay, it's not because they don't want to put commas. For example, look at here. And he says, except as otherwise provided in the subtitle, comma, gross income means all income from whatever source derived, comma, including, and if they wanted to, they could have put on their comma, but not limited to, comma, the following items. You could have an English language, your different thoughts you want to add to your sentence by commas before and after that thought, separated. But Congress didn't do that. This parenthesis was added by the writers, the lawyers of Congress, who later on took the statutes and put them into the codes. That's right. The codes are not actually the law. The statutes are the law. Man, some government lawyers went in and rewrote the statutes in the codes format for easy searchability by subject. So you can look up laws by subject. Much easier. So that's another topic we can go another time, like topic of positive law and all that. But, okay, let's see what it says here. Wow, look at it. They got 15 different sources of income they're listing. I'll have to go from the bottom. Let's go to the bottom number 15. What is that? Income from an interest in an estate or trust. Do a lot of people have income from an interest in an estate or trust? Not that I know of. Very few people have income from a trust. That's rich people generally, usually, right? How about number 14, income in respect of a decedent, somebody who passed away, they pass income to you. Okay, that's, how often does that happen? You know, maybe your parents passed away, your brother, sister, or spouse, but that doesn't happen very often. How about distributive share of partnership gross income? Oh, well, if you have a partnership, some people have partnerships, but many people don't. Most people are employees or have their own business or have a corporation or limited liability company or some other entity they work through if they do, right? So partnerships are, again, not that common. How about number 12, income from discharge of indebtedness? What that means, for example, if you got your home, bought your home in 2005 at the top of the market in California and it was worth $600,000. And then after the crash, the value of the house went out to $300,000. You had borrowed $500,000 against it. You let the house go to the bank. The bank will say, "Hey, we just gave you, you borrowed $500,000 from the bank. You only, you know, and so the other $200,000 that they, you know, they'll write you off income from you. The bank says the loan they gave to you is not income to you. Now, how often does that happen? Not very often. Then we have pensions, income from life insurance, endowment contracts. Again, how often does that happen? When someone dies, you get a life insurance payment. Annuities, alimony, separate maintenance payments, dividends. Again, that's for rich people, right? That invest in stocks, not the average guy. Royalties, oh, but that's pretty rare. How many people are in mentor of some kind to get royalty, right? Very few people. Interest. A lot of people have interest from bank accounts, gains derived from dealings in property, gross income derived from business, and then number one, compensation for services, including fees, commissions, fringe benefits, and similar items. Wow. Congress thought about things like fees. How many people make money from a fee of some sort? You know, a notary public, for example, when they notarize your signature, they charge a fee for doing that. Now, most people don't have income from a fee. Commissions, well, salespeople make commissions, yeah. A good, fair amount of people have that. But how about fringe benefits? How many people have any fringe benefits beyond getting a discount when they eat at a restaurant, when they work at a restaurant, you know, or pens and pencils at your job, you know, copy paper. I mean, really, fringe benefits Congress thought about. And it thought about things like number 15, income from an interest in an estate or trust. Very specific source defined, and royalties. Okay. But what's missing from this list? Do you guys missing notice that a very common, the biggest source of average person's income missing? What do you think that is? You guessed right. What's missing is wages and salaries. Most people, their source of income is their wage from the job if they're the hourly wage earner, or the salary if they're a salaried worker. How come it's not here? How come it's not here? Well, it's very simple. Because Congress never wrote a law to tax the average person's wages and salaries. If there was, it would have been in here. I have a copy of the IRS code here in my house. It's close to 10,000 pages. Okay? It's about, 2 inches thick of toilet paper thin paper, double-sided, small font, like 6-point font, very voluminous. Does anybody really in their right mind want to suggest that Congress just, oopsie, forgot to mention wages and salaries? They remembered all these things like royalties and income from an interest in an estate or trust that very few people have. They thought about those things, but they forgot that the average American, most Americans, about 80%, make their livelihood from wages or salary? Really? Is the Congress that stupid? Really? You expect me to believe that? Really? Well, I don't believe that. They're not stupid. They're very smart. They got very smart lawyers working for the congressmen and senators that write these laws. They obviously knew the average person's source of income, most people, is wages and salaries. It's not there because it's not there. I mean, they thought on item number one, fees and fringe benefits, but they forgot about the main item. I mean, you get fringe benefit at your job. Do you have a salary or a wage? You're right, you get a fringe benefit, but you get a job there first. They pay hourly or salary, and the fringe benefit is a bonus on top of that. It's like the cake, you know, is a job, is your wages and salary. And the fringe benefit is icing on the cake. So it's like you go to a baker, and here's the icing on the cake, but no cake. You tell them, I want the icing to be like this. You go to a baker, and the baker comes, give you some icing. No cake. You say, hey, you know, and they say, where's my cake? You say, we didn't ask for it. You didn't mention it. Well, this is not a bakery, okay, that you have to mention everything maybe. Congress is very intelligent. Intelligent lawyers work for them. They did not include wages and salaries for a reason. They never passed a statute taxing people's wages and salaries. Yet the fraud goes on. The executive branch, the IRS, pretends the average person's wages and salaries are taxable. In addition, the courts also got on the act. Legislature got on the act eventually. They never passed the law themselves, the legislature, because none of the Congress and senators want to be the one voting for taxing the average American's wages or salaries. No. That would get them fired at the next election. So they never did it themselves, the legislatures. They just allow the executive just do it, and they don't object, the legislatures. And then when the corrupt judiciary goes along with the act and declares the average American got to follow up pay income tax anyhow, the legislature just goes along with the program. See, because the court cases that the corrupt judges, these corrupt lawyers who were politicians, political lawyers, who they were put on a robe on a bench, with a black rope, all of a sudden they become your honors. These your honor guys, which we got from the communist Soviet Union, these dictatorship places, okay? They declare out of thin air that, oh, wages and salaries are a part of item number one, part of compensation for services. Well, we can go over that another time why, and there were times in Congress passed laws mentioning compensation for services. And in addition to that, they mention salaries separately. That's right. They actually mention wages and salaries and compensation for services as two different things. Because why? Because they are two different things. Now, I can show that to you if you want, if you go to Freedom Law School's website. I have an article on that, but let me see if I can find a few folks. But also we have that available at, here we go, I'm almost there. You go to livefreenow.org, livefreenow.org, Freedom Law School's website, here we go. And then go on the top left of the page under educational materials, okay? Go there, click on that, education materials, okay? Now, when you do that, then you go to the second page. Okay, go to second page, okay? And on the second page, you're going to find two articles listed there. One is called What is Income? And the other one is on who is liable. Okay. They both are very much on point about these issues. Okay. And they explain this issue. Okay. Well, let's go to what is income part. Okay. The what is income part, you know, And let's look for words like gains, profit, and income. Here you see the actual statutes of Congress are printed for you. Okay? The first one you see is an 1894 act named an act to reduce taxation to provide revenue for the government and for other purposes. Approved August 27, 1894, Stat 509, Chapter 349. And Section 27 of it, you see, it talks about gains, profits, and income. Those are three different things that they mention. You see several court cases about these things they talk about. And then you go a little bit further down, you see in statutes passed in 1913, in October 1913, the second part you see that's got a parenthesis. Again, you see what's bolded? We bolded it for U.S. Freedom Law School. Okay. The second line says the net income of a taxable person shall include gains, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, or compensation for personal services of whatever kind, in whatever form paid, or from professions, vocations, business, trade, commerce, or sales, or dealing in property, whether real or personal. No, okay. Whether real or personal, growing out of the ownership or use of or interest in real or personal property, also from interest, rent, dividends, securities, or the transaction of any lawful business carried on for gain or profit, or gains or profits, and income derived from any source, whatever, including income from but not the value of property acquired by gift, bequest, devise, or descent. So as you see here, folks, gains, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, or compensation for personal service. See, compensation for personal service is a separate thing than salaries or wages. They're not the same, right? If they were the same, why would Congress separate them here? They mention salaries and wages separate from compensation for personal services. And even personal services, they take a little time to describe some of it, like professions, vocations, businesses, trade, commerce, sales, dealing in property, right? So when Congress takes the time to write things, they can write long paragraphs, long sentences like this if they want to, right? So when they don't do it, what does that tell you? They didn't mean it. They didn't mean to add it in there. This is the statute. This is the actual language of statutes that lawyers of government are supposed to put into the code like we have here. And they did the code in part correctly. Obviously, they did not put salaries and wages for a reason. Because Congress members didn't want to vote and say, go back home and say, I passed a law taxing your wages and salaries. Okay? So you can read more about this, folks. This article gives you a lot more. And you go, you'll see again, next act. Let's go down a little bit more further. Next paragraph is a great area, right? And this one, income defined. Here we go on line two. The net income of a taxable person shall include gains, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, or compensation for personal services. Oh, see? Wages, salaries, wages, or compensation for services. The word or means they're different. They're separate. They're not the same thing. Both places use the word or. Wages, salaries, or compensation for services. Go down to the next section, 1921. Congress passed a law, and it defining gross income. Gross income defined, Section 213. It says, include gains, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, or personal or compensation for personal service. Here we go again. They separated salaries and wages from compensation for personal service. Next section, Congress in 1924 passed another revenue law, Revenue Act. They defined gross income, and here it is. They say the term gross income includes gains, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, or compensation for personal service. Interesting. Do you notice a pattern? Every time they mention salaries and wages, they are separated from compensation for personal service. Is it or? Next law in 1926, same thing. Section 233, okay. The term gross income includes gains, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, or compensation for personal service. Next law in 1928, Section 22, gross income. Again, gross income includes gain, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, or compensation for personal service. Next act of law, Revenue Act in 1932, Section 22, gross income. Gross income includes gain, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, or compensation for personal service. Next, 1934, Section 20, gross income, Section 22. Gross income includes gains, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, or compensation for personal service. Wow. Repeatedly, the Congress clearly makes a distinction between wages, salaries, and compensation for personal service. In 1936 Law Act, same thing again, right? Gross income includes gains, profits, income derived from salaries, wages, or compensation for personal service. 1938, same thing again. Include gains, profits, income derived from salaries, wages, or compensation for personal service. 1939, Section 22, same thing. Gains, profits, income derived from salaries, wages, or compensation for personal service. Wow. I bet you didn't know that, did you? I bet you no one showed this to you before. This is new. And his court cases, you see in his article, Supreme Court cases, you click on them, and that will get you the court case that we talk about right there. You go to that source, you can read that U.S. Supreme Court case or whatever court case that's listed there. So the words that we quoted from the court case in there, it's real. I didn't make it up. It actually says those words. Okay. So have we been lied to? Have we been deceived? Congress knows the difference between salaries, wages, and compensation for personal services. So let's go back now to Section 61 of Title 26, where it says gross income defined, and they mention, again, royalties and all the stuff that most people don't have. And remember, in parentheses, the but that limited to is not part of the law. Neither is the heading. And let me tell you something else interesting. The government lawyers try to say, or judges, that, well, but not limited to. But not only it's not part of the law, but if that's the case, that it's not but not limited to, it means anything else, well, why bother listing anything? Why bother listing anything like annuities, dividends, rents, pensions, income in respect of a dissident? Why bother listing all these things? Just say whatever you make money from, whatever you, whatever income from whatever source you get. Why bother listing these 15 items at all? And item one itself is, you know, four items. So it's 19 things actually. Why bother? Just say income from any source, whatever, period. If the word but not limited to really meant anything, they added in parentheses. Right? But Congress never meant that. Congress never said that your wages and salaries are subject to withholding. Otherwise, it would have been there. But that's no problem. All we need is some crooked, government-paid, government-biased, political judges like they got in some communist dictatorship third world countries. That the judges in those countries don't represent the people. They're pro-governments. They rubber stamp what the government wants. Because, after all, the judges are also government employees, just like the other branches of government. So they just have the judges declare that, oh, well, wages is in compensation for services. Therefore, y'all got to fall and pay income tax. Then all they have to do is say, well, the courts have repeatedly upheld the legality of income tax. So if the court declares that you have two heads, do you end up having two heads? If the court declares that your height is 10 foot, you're 10 foot tall, does that make you 10 foot tall? Of course not. The courts ruled way back in the 1800s, the black man is not a man that his rights were protected by the Constitution. Dred versus Scott. U.S. Supreme Court said that in Dred versus Scott. Hey, Supreme Court said that. Mr. You know, the slave that went to the North, you know, he had got a return. He's not a human being with rights. He's just a piece of property, like a cow or sheep or table or chair. Return him to his owner. Supreme Court said that. So just because the court said that, it doesn't make it so. The funny thing is that the Supreme Court, about the issues of income tax, they ruled correctly in the early 20th century. It's the lower level courts, the trial courts, and the courts of appeal that ignore the law. And they rule falsely, lying, claiming your wages and salaries are income. And the Supreme Court, their role is when someone takes that from a court of appeal, that issue, to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court refuses to look at that issue because they don't want to reverse their own correct decisions about the income tax in the early part of the 20th century. They don't want to do that. These cases you see in this article, cases like, you know, Glenshaw Glass Company and Staton Independence Company Limited versus Hobart, Doyle versus Mitchell Brothers, and more. You know, they don't want to do that. But then again, they don't want to destroy the income tax either by saying, oh, the average American is not subject to the income tax. So they just let the lying decisions of the Court of Appeals stand, saying, in essence saying, well, we didn't say that. The Court of Appeals said that, but we didn't say that. So they can always say face and we didn't say that. We're just too busy to look at this and fix the issue. That's how the game is played. As long as the average American doesn't know, this will go on. This robbery will go on because the politicians, the judges, and the bureaucrats in government, to them and for them, it's all about the money. They just want the money. You know what's funny about that statement? It's all about the money. I was at the trial of Joe Bannister, the former IRS special agent who defected from the dark side of Darth Vader, these crooked politicians and bureaucrats and judges, and the big banks and corporations, to the side of we the people. I was there in this trial in Sacramento, California, back in 2005. They were trying to make Joe Bannister shut up and don't talk about income tax fraud because he was one of them and he had credibility to the people, the public, because he was one of them carrying a gun of the government to enforce the phony, fraudulent income tax. So they charged him with tax crimes. They never charged him with having not filed and paid income tax, because he hadn't. After 1999 was the last year he filed up income tax. So for year 2000, 2001, 2003, Joe Manchester had not filed up income tax. And the government could have charged him with a so-called crime, the non-existent crime of having failed to file and pay income tax. They could have done that, but they didn't. The Commissioner of Internal Revenue, Mr. Everson himself, spoke about Joe Barrister. And he said Joe Barrister was an IRS agent and he knew what he was doing. Oh, sure he did. So the management of the IRS knew what Joe Barrister was doing. Right? And he wrote a book about the income tax, gave it to superiors at the IRS while he was an IRS employee, and asked him to refute his conclusions in his book about income tax being a fraud, which the IRS refused and failed to refute at that time when he was with the IRS, or later on at these public hearings, public debates that We the People Foundation put together between Joe Barrister and other experts of the tax honesty movement on the one side, and the IRS, U.S. Department of Injustice lawyers, and Congress and President on the other side. No one from the government showed up to these debates. They finally put Joe Barrister on trial to shut him up, but they never charged him with having not filed and paid income tax. Okay? And the government, what they were doing, they were trying to tie him to a loose cannon, okay, named Al Thompson, a guy that didn't know what he was doing. He was into patron mythology nonsense, and when he wouldn't listen, was hard-headed. He meant well, but he was hard-headed about it, not listening, not learning. They got Al Thompson. They tried to tie Joe Barrister with Al Thompson in a conspiracy. The two of them conspired to rip off the government. That was the charge, basically. You and Al Thompson conspired, the two of you, to rip off the government. Okay? So they had the trial of Al Thompson and Joe Barrister done separately. And the government lawyer, in his desperate move to try and get Joe Barrister convicted, Mr. Twiss, yes, there was a government lawyer, the Department of Injustice government lawyer. He told the jury that to Joe Barrister, it was about the money. He was in it for the money. It's for them, it's all about the money. No, Mr. Twiss, for Joe Barrister, it was about honor, about integrity, about him upholding his oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution, Mr. Joe Barrister. That's what he wanted. To Mr. Barrister, it was about the truth and about the American people's rights not being violated. It's for the politicians and bureaucrats that pay that corrupt criminal government Department of Injustice lawyer, Mr. Twiss. It's for him and his folks and his ilk that it was about the money. Their money to pay the fat salaries and pensions and paid vacations and kickback and long coffee breaks, because no one watches these public servants working hard or not. Okay? Sucking up the money of the hardworking average American taxpayer. It's about them, these leeches, for them having the money. And sitting with the fellow judges who are, you know, or don't have any balls to stand up to the other two branches of the government and tell them, hey, I got to uphold the Constitution no matter what you guys say, because that's I'm sworn to do that. Same thing for the corrupt legislatures who have no balls to stand up for the people. And they go along with all this corruption and criminality because they don't represent the people anymore. They don't represent the American people. They represent the big banks and corporations who fund them, give them money to the advertising election campaigns. For all these people, it's about the money. They want the money. That's why White House economic advisor of the Clinton White House told Bob Schultz of the We the People Foundation. When We the People Foundation was trying to get the White House and IRS and U.S. Department of Justice to come and meet with Joe Barnes and others and publicly debate this on TV, like on C-SPAN 2, to debate the legality and income tax issue for American people to see and decide for themselves. Okay? Bob Schultz was told by the White House economic advisor, quote, this is a quote, and I talked to Bob Schultz, and he verified to me personally. He said he was told that the legality income tax is not a high priority item at the White House, and we will not participate in any conference on the subject. They don't care. The White House, the government, don't care if the income tax is legal or not. Let me repeat. The words are, the legality income tax is not a high priority item at the White House. They just want the money. That's it. You know, you heard about it in the news a few days ago in New York, a bunch of thugs in New York City, five young teenagers went in the park and took a gun to a 39-year-old man who was with his 18-year-old daughter, told the man to go away so they could rape his daughter, and they did. While his father went and called the police on 911 from some other place. They don't care if it was legal or not, these thugs. To them, it's about their pleasure, about their fun, about their selfish selves. And that's what's going on with the United States government, the politicians, the bureaucrats, the judges, and the powerful moneyed interests that pay these guys to get there. Because it starts from these big banks and corporations owning the legislatures, and through them, they own the executive branch, which is headed by a politician, the bureaucrats, and the judges who are appointed by these corrupt legislatures who are owned by the big banks and corporations. To them, it's all about the money. Now, in my opinion, we got to change this. We got to stand up and change it. If I was talking about this back in Iran in 1960s and 70s on the Shah of Iran, where I grew up, if I spoke like this about the Shah of Iran, I would be immediately taken away, disappear some jail dungeon, tortured, trial, no trial, semi-trial, jailed for who knows how long, indefinitely, or executed. You have no right to free speech over there. In Iran. We don't. You have it in America. I couldn't speak about this stuff when I grew up in Iran. But in America, we have that right. Why aren't we exercising it? Why aren't you talking about this to your friends, neighbors, and coworkers? What's going to change if we all don't do anything about it? Every one of you on this call, I'm asking, talking to all of you and anybody who's going to listen to this later, why aren't you talking to somebody about it? I did. I'm 53. I learned about this stuff when I was 29 years old. And I started talking to people, everybody about it. And now we have more tools available. And, you know, we had flyers back. And now, you know what we got? We don't have just flyers and articles. We have a whistleblower from the inside of the IRS, from the heart of the beast, that defected to our side. And he exposed the fraud of income tax. He wrote a book about income tax they couldn't refute. He came to debate the government they couldn't refute. They tried to put him in jail they couldn't do that. We got that in his story. And you could take that. Give it to your friends, co-workers, family members. Give him Joe Barnes' speech on CD. I will mail it to you at no charge. Go give his link on YouTube, okay? And have him watch that. The USA Today ads are with the People Foundation, okay? That with the People Foundation put together. I will send that to you folks at no charge also. Just type in Joseph Bannister. The very first thing coming on YouTube is there. It's his speech. The same one I'll send you an audio tape. The USA Today ads, I'll give them to you. And just give it to them. Tell them you got to listen to this in your car. No, you don't have to read a long book. Because most people will not read a book. They don't like to. They won't do it. They just won't. No, they won't sit down and watch an hour and a half video at home either, even on YouTube for free. Here it is. When you wait to go home, to work, to shopping, put this in there. Don't listen to music. No talk show. You know, put this in. Listen to what's going on. We have a nation in distress. We are in a Great Depression. We have homelessness, unemployment. We have hungry people in America. People who are forced to eat garbage, junk food, top ramen soup, and now noodles, and rice and bread, because that's all they can afford. People living in tent cities, while as big rich banksters own this politics in this country. We're going to get our country back, and you're hurting, your business is hurt, you're not getting raises, you don't know what's going on, why, and while they're ripping you off. Here, listen to this. Follow up with them. This is about your family, your children. So, Freedom Law School, it's me. I'm the one that started, but guess what, folks? For you and your friends' friends, and so on, we can reach a lot more people. Right now is the tax season. Right now is the time people think they have to file the 1040 income tax confession form, misnamed return, when they don't. You could just say they are interested on this subject. They're afraid. They're nervous. They're not sure what to do. Go talk to them. Will every one of them listen to you? No. Will anybody take the CD from you? No. Will every one of them who take the CD from you listen to it? No. Up front, I'm telling you. But that's part of life. Keep talking to people. Talk to people because you're going to come across people who are interested, who are curious, who will put it in the CD in the car, and they go, wow, this is interesting. I never knew that. I'm going to have to check this out some more. Remember, that was you. Whether it was 6 months ago, 6 years ago, or 20 years ago, somebody got you interested in this subject in the same way. You were ignorant. I was ignorant. All of us were ignorant one day until somebody that loved you, cared about you, thought enough about you to somehow give you something, an article, video, CD, something, audio, to have you exposed to the subject. Remember, think back. When was your moment that you got started this stuff? Who was it who got you started, educated by this income tax fraud? You need to carry on the torch to the next person and do the same thing, folks. And with that, take our country back. And let them know, hey, let them know about Freedom Law School's income tax reward. Got three of them, three $100,000 income tax rewards. This is the first one. I'll talk about the other ones in the future weeks. Have them go to our website at livefreedom.org. Have them get on his conference calls. Ask their questions. I'll be happy to address them. That's why I've expanded his conference calls to three times a week. Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Thursdays at 8 p.m. all Eastern time zone every week to help you answer your freedom questions and help you reach more people and educate them so you can educate Americans of freedom. Because why? Now is the time to do it. Not in 2000, 2003, 2005, when the economy was good, we were in a full employment, we had good times. During those times, everybody was fat, lazy, happy, they got a job, they were buying homes, got cars. People were not interested. Hey, everything's good, man. I'm happy. I'm good. What's your problem, right? You know, you're a communist, you're agitator. Well, what are you talking about? It's conspiracies, all this kind of stuff, right? But back in 2007, 8, and 9, and later, the people started losing their jobs. Every mortgage agent that I knew, just about Every one of them lost their job as a mortgage salesman. Many real estate agents lost their jobs. Many people in many fields lost their jobs. I know business owners went out of business. Other business profits went down dramatically. Okay, a lot of people have been hurt. People are making good jobs, now end up getting minimum or sub-minimum wage jobs. That's all, they gotta survive with something. Now, these guys are waking up saying, something's wrong. Something's wrong, and they get interested. Some of you on this call, I bet you, many of you on this call didn't get into this movement until 2008, 9, 10. You are unemployed. You have time to look up and read. You were too busy working before to pay attention. Now you got the time. You went online and do a little search about the Federal Reserve, income tax, constitution, or things like that. And whoa, look at what you came across, right? So now that people are unemployed, more of them are open, got the time to listen and read and get educated. So now is the time to educate people, folks. I'm telling you, this is the time. You know, governments change. Not when times are good, but when times are bad. As Thomas Jefferson said, you know, a founding father said, people are like to sufferables while they are sufferable. Meaning, as long as it's not that bad, people are willing to go along, you know, with the program, whatever's going on. People don't want to, you know, the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence said people don't want, you know, we don't want to change government for transient causes, for minor stuff, for stuff that comes and goes. But this is not a transient cause. This is not a temporary situation. We have lost, as Americans, control of our government. We no longer have in America a government by, of, and for we the people. Do you realize what that means? That means we live in a dictatorship, folks. A dictatorship of the big banks that own the money in this country and own the politicians. They own this country, this government. And we got to get it back from them. And now is the time to wake up, American people, because if we wake up, and if Americans, we can get it back. It starts with educating others. So, do your part. Freedom Law School as your source. Become a fan of Freedom Law School on Facebook. I post different interesting stuff. You know, you can forward to your friends. You know, folks, there's no more meetings anymore. You know, I used to do meetings in America. Annual Freedom House every year. Back in late 90s and early 2000s, people would show up to meetings. With the internet, people don't go anywhere. They sit at the home on the computer. So become a fan of Freedom Law School on Facebook. And we post, share it with your friends. We send email, stuff you like, the stuff that I share with you. If you sign up for our email, for an article, education I give you for free for 1 year, those months a month, you're welcome to share that with your friends. If they're willing to listen to it, look at it, you know. The tools are there. You're the one that like, get it out to them, and you never know who's going to be the one that opens their mind. We'll go on. Remember the revolution that we won 200 plus years ago. A third of Americans were pro-British King, a third were pro-revolution, and a third were just ambivalent, didn't care about either side. They just went along with the program. It was that way then, and today it's going to be the same thing. We got to get our side educated, the average, hard private sector, and your friends in government. Believe it or not, folks, there's a lot of good people in government working for government because that's the only job they could get, who know what's wrong, who know what's corrupt, but they don't know enough what's going on. They're on our side, on the we people. They actually work for you and me. They are against the corruption. You want to contact your friends and family members who work for government, educate them too. Okay, because this thing is going to end badly if you don't act sooner. So having said that, again, go to livefreenow.org, get on our email list, become a fan of Freedom Law School on Facebook, contact us. We'll send you a speech with Joel Bannister on income tax fraud, as many as you want. We'll send you a speech of Ed Griffin, a foremost expert on the Federal Reserve and money system, the author of the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. one of his best speeches on the Federal Reserve, a good introductory one, a great introductory speech of him. I will send that to you on CD for free. Okay, and our Freedom Catalog, The Law for Freddie Bastie, the favorite book of Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul. I will send that to you at no charge. Our Freedom Catalog and more by volumes, wholesale, get it out to people now. Tax season, January, February, March, early April is the best time to get it out to them. So with that, folks, I'm going to go unmute you guys one at a time to see if anybody has any questions. If so, I'll be happy to answer your questions you may have. So let's go to the gentleman from Miracle 646. Do you have any questions, my friend, of me? If so, you can ask me now. Okay, let's go to the call from area code 313 to see if you have any questions. If so, please ask your question on that call from area code 313. Okay, let's go now to the call from area code, 203. If you have a question, call from area code 203, go ahead and ask it now. Okay. No question from the call from area code 203. Let's go to the call from area code 61. If you have any questions, go ahead and announce yourself now, my friend. Okay, how about the call from area code 951? Do you have any question? Go ahead and ask it now, please.
I do have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Hi, yes, I can.
Happy.
Yes.
How are you?
Yes, I'm doing good. Thank you. What's your name, Mo? What's your first name?
First name is Al. Al.
Nice. Yes, Al. Nice to meet you, my friend. From Southern California, yeah. Not too far from where I used to live.
Yeah, I've talked to you before, but it's been a while, maybe a few months. One of the questions I wanted to ask you was, I'm starting a business, and I wanted to know, do I have to put down, I'm buying things at wholesale and going to sell them online at retail. They want to find out as far as my taxes are concerned. You know, they want a Social Security number. They want, a EIN number. They want all of that information in order to be able to sell it to me at wholesale. Am I required to give that to them?
Well, the answer is a yes or no, depending on the situation. Basically, no. You're not required to give it to them, but they are not required to do business with you either.
Okay.
So the government has created this atmosphere of fear, okay, with employers and companies that they got to do all these things that brings about more control of the sheeple. So just because you want to buy something, they want all this information for you, which is not necessary. Sometimes you may be able to convince people that they don't really need that information because they want your business. I mean, when you go buy something, buy some lemons at Costco or Walmart and sugar, and then you go out the street corner with some water and ice, make a nice cool lemonade and sell it to people. Did anybody ask you for all this information?
No.
Why should it be a difference here? There's no difference. Okay? You can buy anything, and so and that, but I can help you with that if you want, in a private one-on-one consultation, Al, to help you through with these challenges to handle some of these guys, because you got to educate the mentality of these people. You know, they're just coming from fear. They're just so worried and afraid. They're told to do this by their accountant or tax lawyer, whatever publication, the professional publication they got. The IRS issued a directive, and to them it's God spoke. The IRS wants it. So nobody questions, wait a minute, if the IRS says so, is that legal or not? Because they ask and do illegal things too, you know. So that's a very important question, but I can, you got to handle it one at a time. And I know some other people, what they do, I've heard people do is They form companies, like form their own corporation or limited liability company or trust or other entities, and that entity is the one that gets gets the sales tax, kind of thing, handles this kind of stuff, or EIN number, stuff like that. So there's more than one with the skin of cat when it comes to these things. Okay, so perhaps what we should do is a more private one-on-one consultation, and I can go over your situation. And you are doing the right thing, by the way, by handling these things now from the get-go before it becomes serious, before you already give up the number. Because once you give it, guess what?
I'm stuck.
You cannot take it back.
I can't take
once
it back.
Once you put the information to them, you cannot tell them, okay, you know what? Take it off your system. They say, oh, no. No, we already got it. We're just going to keep it going. No, we won't. That they won't do. It's much easier to not give the information than give it to them and ask them to take it off.
Okay, and the one-on-one consultation, is that a free consultation, or how much does that cost again?
That's $240 for 1 hour. What you want to do is
1 hour, okay.
Cash. Send it to Freedom Law School cash, only an envelope, priority mail envelope. Along with any questions or paperwork you got, put it all in there. Make sure you have all your phone numbers out. And then once it's received, you'll be called. And we get on the phone, and you got me for the whole hour to take my time and answer your questions, specifically dealing with your situation. That will work for you.
So I'm better off getting all the information, all the factual stuff together first, and then I can that way it's not a waste of time. It's very productive.
Exactly. Get all the stuff you want, all your questions that you have, write them down, all the paperwork that may be relevant to this stuff, any facts about the situation is relevant, write it down so that, exactly, because I want to make sure you get the most out of that time. And 98%+ of the time, when I do one-on-one consultations in 1 hour, I can completely explain your situation, what you got, what are your options, your rights, potential risks, potential dangers, and what are your options? And each of your options, what risks and rewards and have potentials for you, so you make an intelligent decision what works for you, Al, how to go forward from there.
All right, that sounds good.
Okay.
Thank
Anything else
you.
Before I go to the
that.
Next call, Al?
No, I appreciate that, Paymon. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. Let's go now to the call from area code 973. Do you have a question for me? Call from area code 973.
No, just listening and learning.
Very good, my friend. Thanks for being on the call. Let's now go to the call from area code 201. If you have a question, call from area code 201. Go ahead and ask away.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, just coming in.
What's your name?
The show.
Your first name only, please.
My name is
Bobby. For your privacy, I don't want your last name. This is a public
Hadassah.
Call. It's going to be recorded. It's going to be available for everybody to listen to this call later. So for your privacy,
yes.
Your first name is all I want. Yes. Your name?
Hadassah. Hadassah.
How do you spell that?
Miss Hadassah.
Very nice. Very nice. Very good, Hadassah. How may I help you?
I'm not sure what the topic was tonight, and I really was just listening in. My main concerns are about all these third parties and these municipalities that are trying to rob people of their property, in particular in the probate process, and how to go about when you find error, and how the case is either handled either by attorneys or even by the courts. Where's the first real place to start to get a remedy?
Okay. You're in a probate court. So one of your relatives passed away. I'm sorry to hear that. And
yes,
these lawyers and judges are running amok, not reserving you guys, right? Correct?
Exactly.
Okay. I don't specialize in probate court, to be straight with you.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things I'm really good at. I'm excellent in the IRS, excellent in state income taxes, very good with traffic tickets,
mm-hmm.
police violation rights and beating you up in civil rights lawsuits, stuff like that, especially suing,
uh-huh.
going after judges, prosecutors, police. I know a lot about those things. But this is an area I don't know that much about. Okay.
All right. Well, you mentioned
IRS. What I can do is this. Again, what I can do for you is what I suggest you use this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you get a lawyer of your own or you decide to do it yourself, okay, either way, the more you know about the law and your rights and basics of court procedure, the better you can do things yourself. That's why the first two courses of Freedom Law School are called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control. Level one is the first course. Level two is the second course.
Okay.
And they both show you how to do legal writing, made easy, how to do legal research, court procedures. In level two, I get to things like appeals, writs, more advanced court procedure examples. Can get to that a lot more. So you can, and then how to read court cases and citations, that codes, all that, and be able to do things on your own. Advanced research skills. And I make it all easy for the average person. And so you, and then once you get that, basics understand, there are books in the law library. You can look up on probate. Okay? And go ask the law
library. I've seen the books. I've read some of them.
Good.
I've seen the books. I've read some of them. My thing is, I've went as far as to read some of the federal rules. And it's like, it's a maze when you're reading more than one thing. You'll figure that in some cases there might be a flow chart that would make the process a little easier. Like, you do this, and then after you do that. Because what I'm realizing is that everything in the court is about procedure, in addition to whatever is in the book or what's precedent.
I'm sorry, you said everything in the court is what? Egypt? I misheard you, I think. Say it again,
about
please.
Procedure.
Yeah, procedure. Exactly. But you see, that's why I'm trying. See, the problem is that, you see, without someone like me at Freedom Law School giving you an overall education, you've been thrown out in a law library. It's hard to figure it out. See,
right.
That's why I'm trying. It's like kind of like this. If you don't know how to read, someone will tell you, look, just go and pick up a book and read. I need to read real quick, real fast, at a high degree level. So, well, you could do it on your own, perhaps, but wouldn't it be a lot easier if someone says, look, I'm going to show you from the beginning how to read with letters, words, sentences, paragraphs, okay? And I want to get your practice reading and writing quickly, to get you a high level of reading and writing as quickly as possible. Take my course, and I'm going to get you to a lot quicker than you on your own trying to figure it out.
Okay.
That's why we send our children to school to be taught. We don't think a 6-year-old or 18-year-old who's illiterate say, just pick up a book and read it. Go to a library, find a book, pick up, read. You go to a law library by yourself is the same thing. Okay? Wow, it's so complex. And, you know, you don't understand the basics of it. Freedom Law School, unfortunately, is the only source on the internet in America that actually broke down the law for you. You know why? You know why I did that? I'll tell you why I did that. So you understand where I'm coming from, why this works for you. When I heard about income tax fraud, and then I got from one group to another, back in 1993, in Orange County, California, we had this hatred meeting. We started our own because the one in L.A. was North Hollywood was too far from us in Orange County, over an hour south of it. And Alan knows where we are. And we started our local meeting, me and a couple other guys, and 30 people showed up, you know. And we were talking about stuff, and I realized that, you know, these people don't know the most basic language of the law, like, you know, what's the Declaration of Independence? Because I didn't know until when I got into the Patriot Movement, what was the Declaration of Independence? I don't know what was the so-called Bill of Rights that I kept hearing about in Libertarian Party meetings. What's the Bill of Rights they talk about? I never know what that was. What's sovereign? What's common law? What's the U.S. Constitution Article 1, Section 8? You mean, there's so many things like, I never heard before. What the heck is that? I didn't know those things, and I was learning them. And I realized right away that these people come to the meetings, they did not know these things either. So rather than them trying to figure out on their own, or when some expert patriot guru came to town to do a seminar in California, Southern California, they always meant to stop there, all the experts at the time. I said, let's do a class to bring these people who are new to our level of education or ignorance. Literally. I knew we were ignorant. I knew that. So we don't know that much, but we know more than these guys. Let's bring them at least to our level of understanding and give them some basic definition words and concepts. So when they hear about this stuff from these experts that come to town on the weekends from across America to teach us about this stuff, these patriot leaders, they understand the lingo, the language of it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And those classes that I put together with these other guys, the other guys quit pretty quickly. I kept them going, and every 9 weeks I did one class one night a week for 9 weeks from 7:30 to 10:30 at night. People would come take my class once a week. I would audio tape them at the time, make them available that way if they wanted to. And every time I did the classes, knew I improved them. Okay. I'm going to mute you by way of your background noise, just so you know. And I'll mute you when you want to ask questions. So that's what I did, and I improved the classes and made them available to people. So I did not know these things myself, Hadassah. And I know you don't know these things. I was lost. And I know you're lost more than me. Because at least I had some good friends. I had a friend of mine that took me to the law library, a guy named Bill McCarty, who showed me how to use a law library. Well, that was wonderful. Because what happened is that I didn't know how to use a law library. And I said, look, we got to teach our people that. And Bill knew how to do that. I said, good, Bill, you teach us that. So when he took us there, he was an engineer, smart guy. When I went to the class with him that we were teaching, I learned from him. Yeah, I was a student myself. So now I can teach you how to use a law library. Okay? So that, the experience that I've went through is made easy for you. That's why the level one course is only $300. The level two course is $350.
Okay.
Combined together at the same time, we're within 1 month, I give you $50 off level two for $600 with a money-back guarantee. 9 days for each course. Money-back guarantee, 100%, unconditional. You don't love it, doesn't work for you, send it back. I'll give you money back. Okay, I'll give you $300,
okay.
$600 back. Because
you
need those.
That's the audio?
The audio, right.
Okay, and I do apologize for the background noise. I'm actually walking my dog, I'm sorry.
That's okay. The audio courses? And then each course has over 200 pages of paperwork that I'd say your first round, unless you can make the time to sit down, listen, and look at the paperwork, go through it in your car, listen in your car once or twice if you want. Then the third time or second time, go through the paperwork with the paperwork and the audio at the same time. Okay? Now, some parts of it you may want to skip. On the IRS part, you can skip that if you want to, for example. Get to the stuff, which is basics of legal writing, legal research, made easy, fundamentals of the law, court procedure. Focus on those parts. And level two course gets in those things that you want and need more than level one. Why? Because level one, I just cover the basics. In level two, I can really get into it now, get some potato stuff that will be helpful for someone like you. So for someone like you, that's the best thing available. And then you may find also some good self-help law companies out there. There's a few around. There's one in California called NOLO Press, NOLO.com. They have a lot of self-help law books. I know they got one on probate, but they're basic, which is okay, and they're not about every state. What state do you live in, Hadassah?
I'm sorry, I had New Jersey.
New Jersey, yeah. They might have a book on New Jersey, okay? But then, but again, you can go to the law library and find the right kind of probate book. And if you want me to do a one-on-one consultation, and I can help you find the right kind of probate book that will work for you. But you know, again, whether you do it yourself or with a lawyer, you got, you know, and look, I did it myself. I could not afford a lawyer, okay? So I did it myself. It's that simple. You know, lawyers are too expensive, so I learned on my own. And I've done it, and I've won. I've beaten the IRS myself many times. I've assisted the IRS, people to beat the IRS many times. It's on my website. So if you can beat the IRS Goliath, surely you can beat this probate situation that you're into right now. Just got to take the time and get some assistance. So I would say get level one, level two course, and we could do a little consultation also. And I can, once you know the basics of procedures, I can guide you through the process a little bit better. Give me other questions.
Thank you. Are you able to give me your website again? Because I came on late.
Sure. I'm sorry. That's right. You came in late. Freedom Law School's website is livefreenow.org. Livefreenow.org.
Okay.
If you go on the top right of the page under course packages, you'll come across level one course and others. It's all there. If you have any questions, not clear about things, you're welcome to call Freedom Law School at 813-444-4800. Our number's listed there.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Are you able
okay,
to
folks.
Keep me on hold? And I'm really sorry for the background noise.
No, that's okay. Don't worry about it. That's okay. No problem. I'm going to mute you right now. That's okay. So that background noise will be gone. But anyhow, folks, I think we've done for right now. I'll mute everybody now. And if anybody has any last questions, you just announce your telephone area code first, then your first name, and then go ahead and ask your question, because I think most of you did not have a question, just wanted to listen and learn, which is fine. And then, you know, if you have any questions, so announce yourself right now. Otherwise, we'll end the call. I'll be back with you again next week. Does anybody have any questions? If so, please announce yourself now. No more questions anymore. Thank you very much, folks, for being with me. Remember, get in touch with Freedom Law School on our website at livefreenow.org or call us at 813-444-4800. We'll get you this education material and get them out to your family members first. Family members first. Your spouse, your brother, your sister, your parent, your child, your cousin, then your friends and coworkers, in that order, okay? Get them, contact them, and then you can tell them about these conference calls also, and I'll be happy to be there for you guys and do the best to answer your freedom questions. So with that, folks, I'd like to thank you for calling, and I wish you all a good night.